and welcome to the 154th edition of the GoMeAndGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And this is Ashton.
And this is Brandon.
All right, we got four of us in the room today. Gentlemen, we are here to talk North Texas football. And once again, was a close game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it wasn't
We're
so
talking
great.
About the UTSA game because we didn't do a podcast that week, so we should just skip over La Tech. We'll just talk about UTSA.
Yes, we were all in therapy last week because we were hallucinating that we actually won a game. But that was an exciting win for those that actually attended the game, which I was actually surprised how many people were at the UTSA game. It was an interesting game. We saw some things we liked. We saw a lot of stuff that we still didn't like.
I liked winning.
Well, yeah.
That was cool to see.
That was nice for a change.
I liked that.
Are we just going to pretend like the La Tech game didn't happen?
I don't know what you're talking about. That's this weekend, right? That's this week. We're playing La Tech. I think we'll probably keep it close.
So we got a game. We had a game against UTSA. Now we got a game against Tennessee.
Okay, so. I want to bring up a couple of things.
La Tech canceled their football program, so yeah. We didn't play them.
No, you know what? And this was tweeted on Gomeen Green on our Twitter handle.
Twitter.
We've seen this week after week on the sidelines, but Chico has definitely brought some energy to the sidelines. You can see it in the players. You can see it. They're excited. And my hat's off to him for that because he's kind of in a no-win situation here. I mean, yeah, he could maybe win a few games, but he's really – he's polishing a turd right now.
The UTSA game afterward – I mean, I know we're – sorry, we're skipping over the La Tech game just for a second, but that was really cool after the game. The locker room celebration. I mean, they had just won the Super Bowl, basically. I mean, they had literally just won the Super Bowl. And that was really cool to see. Everybody was happy and yelling around. I mean, granted, you know, the season obviously is down the crapper, but just to beat UTSA, you know, was nice. That if that's our only win, so be it. But, I mean, at least we got to beat them. But just the enthusiasm, you know, he really was happy. They put him on their shoulders a little bit, like at the when they were over the student section for a brief period of time. They kind of picked him up, and they were. I mean, man, literally, we had just won the conference. The conference championship had happened, and it was pretty cool to see. But Chico does have a ton of enthusiasm, and you know, at least something good came out of it just once. Maybe
it did, and he's got the enthusiasm. I know he's playing a big, trying to get him excited, trying to sell himself is what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Because he knows that his time's limited here. A lot of times the last go around, a lot of people are excited. They wanted to give him a shot. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a motivated guy. He seems to say the right things. I still have to question the lack of being able to recruit a quarterback and the situation we've been in since he was here, even pre-McCartney.
Well, and then fast forward to the La Tech debacle. And, you know, you've got quotes from him that are saying, hey, you know, we're just not big enough. We're not, you know, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. We've got to develop this program. You know, I've got a plan to develop this program. And you almost want to say, Chico, man, where you been? You know, you've been here for 5 years now.
The thumb wasn't on him to where he couldn't do some of the things he would like to do.
It was Mac's program and Chico was the offensive coordinator, but you'd like to think that as the, you know, second highest paid coach on the staff that he'd have some, you know, impact on the recruiting and development. And you said it, Evan, I mean, look at the quarterbacks that we have on the roster right now. So I'm afraid I agree with you. His enthusiasm has been great. He's been a breath of fresh air, but he's got to shoulder some of the blame for what's transpired.
Yeah, man, Chico's not going to come back. He's not going to be here next year. Everybody who thinks that he might, I don't think that's even an option.
He'd like to be.
I think he wants a head coaching job. So if the head coaching job is here, then yeah, I don't think he's going to turn down. Chico right now, I think, is in a position where he wants to be a head coach, and I think he'll actually be a pretty good head coach, depending on where he goes. He has that kind of that players coach enthusiasm and people respond to it. And like I said, you know, they won the game for him, you know, that kind of whole cliche but no, he's not going to be back here. I don't think necessarily I think he wants to be back because it'd be a head coaching job. I don't think that he's really seriously that enthused with coming, sticking around at North Texas. I think it's an overhaul, and and I think he knows that he's part of that.
Well, one last thing on Chico.
I'd be surprised, honestly.
Where can he go? I mean, where do you think he would go? I mean, is he going to get another assistant job somewhere?
I think he might get a D2. He could get a D2 head coach offer. You know, I mean, if anybody is keeping tabs on him right now, maybe, you know, through his coaching pipeline that I'm sure he has, he's been in the game for so long, there might be a couple D2 schools that just know him, or he's swam through at some point in time with some coach that's there now or something. And, you know, and like, again, I think he would be, that's maybe what he need for a couple seasons. Then he can go maybe to a mid-major down the road. I don't know. I mean, that might even be a little bit far-fetched right now, but he's still young in the coaching world, in the coaching, you know, universe, he's young.
Marty in the chat room said, didn't he interview with Sam Houston last year?
It wasn't, I don't think it was Sam Houston. It might've been Sam Houston. I know that after the 2013 season, he had some people were sniffing around at him a little bit. And why wouldn't we? We were 9-14 at the end of the season when it was all said and done. So of course, but, yeah, I don't know. I don't think sticking around at Denton is really in the cards for him. And I think he knows that even if he did get an offer, and it would be a pretty sweet financial decision for him, probably, that it wouldn't be in his best interest to stick around, and he should go to a place that's he can kind of, you know, recreate. And right here, we've got a lot of things wrong. So, I mean, that's just my opinion.
Well, hey, enough about Chico. We wish him the best. I hope he does great, whatever he decides to do. And it's not an easy position that he's in right now. I mean, I don't, you know, but that being said, he also has the opportunity to coach at a Division I program, and he can market himself, and hopefully some opportunities will arise for him. That would be my hope. I mean, I think the bottom line is that, you know, we need to shift the conversation away from Chico and start talking about the, you know, what we're going to do on this next coaching hire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like we talked about the last podcast. You know, everybody can, we can keep speculating and keep trying to figure it out. You know, I reached out to some people I know in the Big 12 that cover Big 12 sports, and you know, one guy I talked to said that he would be really surprised if any of the head coaching candidates that are, you know, that are our candidates, the ones that we're all throwing around, the Cumbies, the Meachums, Rileys, all the Big 12 guys we're talking about. If any of them would take the job, or really a realistic candidate. And frankly, I think that's, you know, that could be a really good point to bring up. You know, who wants to take the job right now? I know it's still a head coaching job, but if you're a guy at a Big 12 school and you're a successful coordinator right now, and you might, you know, see down the line, you only may have 2 or 3 years to get a better job, to get a big job, a head coaching job, sorry, in that conference. So why would you want to – you don't need UNT, is my point. You don't need to come down to North Texas and be a coach down here. And I think that's valid. I mean, when he told me that, I kind of sat back and thought a little bit, well, that's kind of an interesting point, because I figured anybody who would want a head coaching gig would want a head coaching gig, doesn't matter – a gig doesn't matter where it is. But that's something to think about, really. That's
– Well, I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying there, but who really knows?
No, who really knows? But I'm just saying that, like, you know – that's something to think about. You know, like, I think we really do have to look at the fact that the job has to be appealing. And right now, you know, everybody has their own opinions on whether it's RV or do they, you know, whatever. You know, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't scream, you know, where everybody has their own opinions on why North Texas should be better than it is. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, we're not there right now. And a lot of coaches, unless they just see, you know, massive potential down the line, are they really seeing that North Texas is, if they can just wait it out in their current situation 3 or 4 years? I mean, you look at somebody on Patterson's staff. Patterson's not going to be around forever. I mean, he may want to retire in 5 years, 6 years. I don't know how old he is, actually. How old is Patterson? Do we know?
Like in his mid-50s?
Looks
something.
Like he's 60, so yeah. Maybe he should be older. But, you know, I don't know. I think that there's... They could look at North Texas as being something that they don't have to do to get to where they want to go. They can just hang around, be a good OC, good DC, be a good coordinator, whatever, at their current position or their current school, and then stick to, you know, a Power 5 conference.
Well, and we got some good feedback in the chat room. Mike Jackson saying, The only thing appealing is money. It's one of 122 FBS head coaching positions. That's legitimate. There's only so many of these.
Everybody's going to run with what I just said. That like I'm saying that nobody's going to come here. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just talking about how it could be the fact that, again, if a coordinator sees a situation that he could be, he might not take UNT as the stepping stone because he doesn't need the stepping stone. If he's going to stick around to the job he's at, he might see something down the road at that current spot. That's my point. It's not about not coming down here and taking the offer right away or taking the larger money that's going to get offered to him now.
I do think we have a lot to sell. Call me optimistic, whatever. I do think for the right candidate. And listen, you can be on the staff somewhere for the rest of your life till you're old and gray, or you can maybe take an opportunity to try to come to a program like North Texas, have a couple good years, and then bounce yourself up to maybe a higher place in the coaching hierarchy. I mean, that's
all right.
I think that's what a lot of people have done.
I'm going through the chat room here, and UNT 90, and I don't know if you guys know where he stands on the RV situation, but he's talking about RV limits candidates, and whoever comes in is going to be RV's guy. And if RV's leave, it's a bad situation. I don't think I don't think it's completely up to RV. It's not. It never has been as much as he says it is. It's not. And, you know, a lot of people have been in the different rooms talking about, well, last time we missed out on Fisher and we missed out on, oh God, my mind went blank. What was the other one?
Jim Harbaugh.
We all know what the situation there. We all know what happened. You know, there's just how things came on. I don't think that RV limits the candidates. It is a coaching job. People will work for Bay people just to have the job. And so I don't think we've got anybody turning around going,
and
oh,
can
it's
I also
RV's
say,
there.
You know, they're talking the range is 900 to 1.5. $1.5 million is a lot. There aren't a lot of jobs that pay that. If you know of some that I can go do right now, I'm really interested. But I think the reality of it is money does talk. And that's why I'm very interested to see what the university is going to do. I do think that it's money well spent. I think in our history, we've kind of looked at the range and tried to be somewhere in the middle tier of the range. I think this is a time where you really need to step up and pony up some dollars because money does talk. And that is going to interest some candidates that otherwise might not be interested.
Yeah, to sit there and say that RV limits candidates – and then to what I was just saying a second ago, I mean that, and you say, well, it's a coaching job. So then, but RV limits the candidates, but it's still a head coaching job, right? So it doesn't really. I mean, again, yeah, the money's going to talk, and if we have the money, then they're not going to care who the damn AD is. I mean, right? I mean,
well, yeah, because he's the, you know, that's the position with all the focus on it. If the money's there, the backing's there, you get people coming in, and they're willing to pay it. You can't. I just don't say that there'd be a real controversy for a coach and come in seeing that going through, seeing a banner flying or seeing, I just don't see that that's going to play into their mind much. I really don't.
The coach is not making a decision based on who the AD is at a program. I'm sorry. Can it have an impact? Possibly, but it's not the main thing. The main thing the coach is looking at is what's the opportunity? Where is this going to catapult me in my career? What's the compensation? Hey, guess what? Coaches are like all of us. They want financial security for themselves and their family. So I think there's some other pieces to this other than just who the AD is.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Evan.
I didn't have anything. I was just going to speak up because nobody else was saying it.
So Tennessee this week, and that game's in Knoxville.
Let's talk about something, though, that I did see on there. And I posted this. We've seen this at several games, and I don't want to talk bad about any one player. Harris.
Don't look at me. I don't know anything.
Well,
I haven't been around long enough, apparently.
At the last game, UTSA, he was down there in Chico's face yelling at him. The coaches had to push him back off the field.
This is nothing new, by the way.
I know. But it has gotten to be where this last game, it was on TV, and he's yelling at the coaches, throwing his – I mean, it was just – you know, it's gotten to the point now where it just seems totally disruptive to the coaches, anything going on. I understand he may not be happy that they're not going for it on fourth down, but I think you got a real issue when you got a guy like that. And, of course, he is a performer, you know.
He's been a good player.
He has been an excellent player. He made some great plays the other day. But you got to just sit down and go, okay, what is this guy doing?
He has an interesting – he's an interesting personality for sure. I mean, I don't know if it's – kind of like a little man syndrome thing. You know, he's a smaller guy. He's just been kind of getting his ass whipped a lot, like over the years throughout his life, and doubted. I think he got one offer, D1. I think it was us. I don't think he had any other D1 offers. And he alluded to me one time that he didn't have many offers at all when he came out. So, you know, I don't. Maybe he just kind of plays with a massive chip on his shoulder. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff. You know, I've seen some stuff on the sidelines, you know, even in year one of me being on the sidelines, to see that there's definitely some issues there with, you know, he has a temper, he has an attitude for sure.
And he was McNulty's favorite target. Can we all agree on that? I mean, that was, McNulty went to him 9 times out of 10, it seemed like.
Which is funny, because I think
DeMarcus
is
not throwing it to him as much. You know, I don't think he's getting as many balls, and he's probably, you know, saying, hey, why don't you throw me the ball more? But you can't really do that to a coach, can you? I mean, on the sidelines during a game?
No, you really can't.
No, and it was on TV. It was obvious.
I think if you watch
the broadcast, you saw it, and it was like, come on. This doesn't look good at all.
UTSA, during the timeout, one of our timeouts towards the end of the game, there was a nice little exchange. He ran out on the field, actually. Like, he was running to Chico to tell him to do something. I think there was maybe...
He was wanting to go on fourth down.
I was going to say. And that was... and then I think not Banigou, but somebody else kind of pulled him back a little bit. An offensive lineman kind of pushed him back. And yeah, man, I mean, there's definitely some there's some hot sports opinions that could probably fly around from some teammates about Carlos.
So I feel like we need to at least address Tennessee, and then we can move on.
Before we do that, let's throw one other thing about Louisiana Tech. It was a bright spot. It was a dark spot. It was a wet spot. The running back fumbling situation.
Oh, my gosh.
We can get so excited about Wilson as a future run. He's a sophomore. So many good things we saw at him. But the one thing that drove you crazy was his lack of being able to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, there was a lot of nice fumbling issues going around. You know, DeMarcus had trouble holding on to the ball against UTSA. He fumbled the ball twice in one possession, which is pretty hard to do if you think about it.
Well, yeah, where he's flying through the air with his arm out.
Yeah, but the one before that, when he was running into the end zone and he decided to just let the ball go out of his, nobody even hit him. He just let the ball go.
Yeah, it was there
what
was
the hell are you doing?
That. There were several of them that he did that, and at Louisiana Tech as well. He's got to hang on the ball. He's got to you brought this up, and you and I were talking during the game. He has the mentality, kind of the high school player street ball, whatever you want to call it, the high school player of whatever you can do to make a play, you're a star, make it happen. And
it came back
to haunt him too many times.
Here's the thing about DeMarcus, and I was saying this earlier in the season. This is the part about him not being ready. It wasn't an athletic talent thing. He didn't know the plays. He didn't know the playbook. He didn't understand the playbook as well. He wasn't doing the right plays. He wasn't making the right decisions in practice. You can see it out there now. It becomes wild-ass football sometimes, and he's scrambling for his life because the play broke down or whatever. And instead of just maybe throwing the ball away or just running, he's scrambling. And I know one time I think Carlos did get kind of like heated because the play kind of broke down. Maybe he didn't do the right play or the right read or whatever, and the receivers didn't know really what to do at that point in time. So he's just kind of running around for dear life and then ends up, you know, making a bad decision. I think that one of the interceptions against who was his first start? Western Kentucky was his first actual start, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were some moments that game where I think that he wasn't doing the right play. He wasn't, whether maybe it was a read thing, but or maybe it was a check down or an audible, I don't know. But and you can see during UTSA, you can see Chico at one point in time pull him off and like kind of get in his face, like you're not doing, you know, he wasn't doing something the right way, the way that Chico had designed it or called it or whatever. And that's an issue. I don't think anybody would want their quarterback in there that's not ready. But then again, he had to go in. So, you know.
He had a good point in the chat room.
Yeah.
Joe says his touch on short distance passes are not accurate. I mean, basically, you know, when he's throwing the short pass, it seems like he's throwing a long pass.
He's got such a cannon for an arm, man. He's going to come save our season.
His light touch.
You've got to have a touch on those passes.
That's what I've been saying the whole time. He has no freaking touch. Yeah, I've been saying that.
That's exactly right. He has those. It seemed like, and the announcers made the comment several times that he has no light touch. He can throw some long balls. Some of them really are in there really nice. But the short passes where we could easily make 10 yards, 10, 15 yards, 5, 10, 15 yards, those seem to be more of a struggle.
Look at how many times he sets his feet when he throws the ball. He's never set. It's that street ball, wild ass football kind of stuff. You know, again, this is his fourth team. This is his fourth school in his career. It's not like he was lighting the world on fire somewhere and had an altercation and then left. And then it's not even like it's a Driscoll thing where he ended up here because he wasn't playing somewhere else and he was recruited really highly. I mean, this guy's kind of bounced around. These are all things that we should kind of just be expecting at this point.
I really want to talk about Tennessee.
No, I think we should talk about DeMarcus because this is what everybody wanted, though, right?
This is Ashton's I told you so moment.
It's right not here. An I told you so moment it for is. Sure. Dude, but I told you so.
This is not. You know, but you what? Okay, you've been closer to the team than any of us here.
I didn't really want DeMarcus going in earlier. That's the bottom line,
right,
for sure.
Right. But you got to admit, when they put him in, we had to do something.
And I didn't question that. I was always questioning, and I think even UNT90, who usually bashes everything I say, agree with me on the board at this one. I said it was more of the situation we were in. We didn't have an answer. There was no clear answer, and that was what kind of really sucked. So I think everybody, the backup quarterback is always a sexy idea because you're seeing something that's failing in front of you, and you might have this thing, that the shiny new toy on the sideline that can come and save the day. Oh, right. And he's got a cannon for an arm. So, oh my God. And if McNulty had a cannon for an arm and was just erratic or bad or whatever, then DeMarcus wouldn't have been as much of a sexy pick. You know, but everything that McNulty didn't have, DeMarcus did have. Unfortunately, that whole knowing the playbook and being able to audible and make good decisions didn't come with the cannon arm and the athletic feet.
Hold on to the ball.
So I'm assuming Josh Greer is not even in the conversation right now.
Wow. Josh Greer will never be in the conversation ever again.
Well, what happened on the sidelines? Bringing up Greer here and out of the conversation, was there some kind of an altercation on the sidelines? Because some Tech fans tweeted that. Mm-hmm.
There was some issues going around. I tried to dig around this week about it, actually, and nobody was really wanting to talk about it. Nobody was really wanting to say anything about it. I couldn't really find it much about it at all. So I just kind of let it die. Like, I wasn't going to poke around too much. But it was really interesting. I've never seen anything like that from out of him, really, ever. Even when he was getting benched, he wasn't, you know, last year he wasn't pissed off. And so I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe it was.
He's got to be frustrated.
Well, I'm sure he is. Geez. Everybody's frustrated. The whole team's frustrated. Jimerson's frustrated. We don't have to go down that road. Some people in the chat room are talking about...
Jimerson didn't even make the plane trip.
Yeah, he's the show has left the building. What about Connor Means? Everybody's talking about Connor Means. It's another shiny toy we haven't seen yet.
Well, Connor Means actually had a solid spring game whenever he first was brought in. He had a really great spring game and outshined every quarterback, even Dejon, when he was still with us. And right now, I mean, I think he looks like a better pick.
Dejon wasn't in that spring game. That's why he outshined him.
Dejon was the third string quarterback in the spring game.
You're talking about 2 years
ago.
Yeah,
you're thinking 2 years
ago. Oh, in 13. Okay, I'm thinking 13.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
No, and he played better, made better reads, and better audibles.
So what? Okay, that's a
good
point.
Why is he in the doghouse?
Right now? What happened, Ashton?
Because he doesn't have a red shirt. He's already red shirt.
No, he made a bad decision. I think he did some social media stuff that wasn't really that bad, but that's why he didn't make the trip to Marshall? He didn't make the trip to Marshall. But I'm glad we're kind of bringing up Connor. The things I like about Connor, and I've actually come to know him pretty well. Like during last season, I was doing a piece that we never actually finished, but it was doing new freshman on campus, like the freshman experience for Beyond the Green. And Means and Brandon Gardner were my subjects, and I just kind of followed him around. So I actually spent a lot of time with Connor. And I think at one point in time, Connor talked to Chico last season, and Chico said, "Hey, you know, next spring, the competition's wide open, and you know you're redshirting right now." So, I don't know what happened in the spring that pushed kind of Connor down the line a little bit. I think bringing DeMarcus in, everybody just kind of assumed DeMarcus would end up being the number two if McNulty's starting, because Greer kind of lost the opportunity. But then when Connor Means was number four, I think that was a little bit surprising, even to Connor. And I think he kind of struggled with that going down on the depth chart a little bit. He didn't have a lot of good practices in fall camp. He wasn't really doing anything that was really great and wonderful. He practiced really well in his redshirt season. I remember when we watched the threes and fours go up against each other on Wednesdays, Connor would run the ball a lot and take shots. I mean, he's tough. He's a gunslinger.
Is he?
But he's super competitive.
We're not going to see him this year.
I think we could, actually. If something would happen with DeMarcus, I think Chico actually could throw him out there. I know for a fact that Connor did, you know, has had a conversation with Chico and said, "Hey, listen, I want a shot. You know, if we're going downhill, I want a shot." And that's the thing I like about him is he's super, super competitive. He's that Texas quarterback competitiveness. You know, that kind of that gunslinger mentality that he has. And I think he won a lot in high school, so I'm sure he's used to playing and being a quarterback. So now he was on scout team defense a few times this season. And then he also did special teams. He was the number two. He backed up somebody on special teams for the Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky game. He was a backup to somebody on special teams. Like he was actually going to run out there and play some special teams. He didn't even have the jersey on to do the signals. So that was kind of interesting. But you know, talking to him since then, I think that he is trying to get a shot. And it just depends on, you know, again, right now it's DeMarcus's job, and he has to really, I assume, lose it unless Chico just wants to get creative and throw means out there just to see what the program has down the line.
I think Chico's got to stick with DeMarcus. I mean, he's made that decision, Chico wants to win as many games, and I think he looks at DeMarcus as being the best chance for that at this point, which is a shame because I would like to at least have gotten a chance to see Means take a couple snaps and see what he can do, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I feel like the better shot would be to have him come in next year, take a couple snaps when he's, you know, a little bit more accustomed to the college football game and how.
And he would have. Is he going to have another spring practice in under his belt too?
Well, that's
a
good
point.
So will we see him? But my question is, are we going to have some people? I hope we have some walk-ons. I hope we have some recruits or some last minute something happened. The new coach snipes somebody out. I hope that we see something because we desperately need something to happen at that position. And
we need a spark.
We do. We do need a spark. Wilson looks like he could be a spark, but a spark that keeps dropping the damn ball. So that's a whole other issue there. All right, let's talk about Tennessee. Harry?
It's going to be a tough game.
You think?
That's an excellent analysis.
You know.
Well, the line is pretty close.
40?
41. 41.
Why are we playing this game?
Well, why are we playing it now? I mean,
why are we playing football? No, we can play football. We can play we can play football, but do we have to play Tennessee at this time of the year? Is this the most inopportune opponent in the history of North Texas football?
I mean, is it the hardest?
I said inopportune. This is like, why are we playing Tennessee this week? It just doesn't seem to makes sense.
In the chat, there's point of money. There's a point of solid.
And I know it's money,
no, this is all the SEC teams this week, I believe, except for like four or five, have this. This is the cupcake game. They always schedule the cupcake game for them late in the season before they get into some of the rivalry games. And like I think this week A&M plays some Florida crap hole school or something like that, I think, right? Don't they play some? So they play somebody weird.
They play Western Carolina.
They're going to lose that game. I'm just kidding.
Right.
Alabama, I think, has a easy game this week or next week. They all do these little tune-up games. They do these out-of-conference tune-up
games. I understand what they do, but can I just put the gavel down and be the North Texas judge of the future and say, I don't ever want to play a game like this again. I don't care how much money it is. It's demoralizing to the fan base. It lowers morale.
Like Iowa, you talking about like an Iowa game?
Iowa,
too?
I can even live with Iowa. I know you have to pay the bills right now. I'm not unrealistic.
Why is Iowa okay though? Iowa wasn't going to be number five in the nation when the season started.
I don't think we knew they were going to be as good as they are
when that game
with
was
Iowa.
Scheduled.
But,
they weren't.
But again, I understand we have to pay. We have to do a paycheck game. I can live with that. One is enough. Having to play two in the same season, in a bad season, and then have it late in the season when you've already lost eight games. It's just a nut punch, man. I mean, it really is. It's really I've looked at the interest this week, and I've looked at the board, and just it I don't want to see it happen again, guys. That's just where I'm at.
So you're saying that this is the game we all look away and then just hope
really,
for the following week.
Is anybody excited about watching this game?
Student base? No. We're not. Nobody's going to follow this game for anyone on
is
campus.
Students following anything right now?
We're following one thing, and our union just opened, and that's what we're following.
We're going to get to that union in a minute.
That's good news. Thank you.
So, yes, that'll be the highlight of this podcast. So, yeah, it's going to
be
a
tough
game. Yeah,
I'm sure anybody in the chat room really gives a shit.
Yeah, well, union. Somebody's looking for something different.
It's not just about the chat. We appreciate our chatters, but we have to keep things positive.
The chat room is super positive right now. There's so much optimism going around. There's right. not. That was just a joke.
We've got Tennessee, we got Middle Tennessee, and we got UTEP left. We got three games. Can we pull out two? Can we beat Middle Tennessee and beat UTEP?
Middle Tennessee may be a stretch. UTEP's a possibility.
We could beat Tennessee. We're probably just not going to.
Wow. Well, of course not. I mean, everybody was like, oh, last time we played them. And, you know, that's going to be on the broadcast. The last time these two teams met, yeah, that's going to be they're going to get some mileage out of that one in the first 30 seconds of the game. Middle Tennessee, what do you think of their year so far? 4-5.
They've had a pretty good season in my estimation. I mean, you know.
Under 500.
Well, but
they lost to Alabama, Illinois, and Vanderbilt.
They beat Marshall, though. That's a pretty big win. I mean,
in overtime,
Conference USA.
Overtimes.
I mean, that's a pretty impressive win.
They lost to Louisiana Tech 16-45.
Louisiana Tech beat us by a similar score.
No, I know. I'm not saying it's. I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that.
They're not great, but I think that they've. I mean, we trade records with them in a heartbeat.
Well, of course.
You know, if we'd have beat Marshall. That would have been a huge win. I think they're not at the upper tier of Conference USA is Western Kentucky and La Tech, and then Marshall's a little below that. But you know, I think Middle Tennessee is somewhere in the middle tier.
Well, they're liking the end of their schedule. I mean, they're looking at they could probably possibly go 8-4 to end the season because they've got Florida Atlantic. I'm sorry, not 8-4, 7-5 because they've got Florida Atlantic, North Texas, and UTSA left on their schedule.
Hey, they got a bowl opportunity.
Yeah, they do.
Know, so
that's going to be a tough game because that game against us will probably be one of the ones to help decide it. So then, we have UTEP, and we know how UTEP's season's gone. They're 4-5. They're not looking very good at all.
But they still have a bowl shot, so they got something to play for. I mean, that's the difference between us and our opponents is they're all playing for something, and we're just kind of trying to improve.
Yes, that win against Incarnate Word was pretty amazing at 27-17.
Incarnate Word.
I didn't even realize they had a team. Mother Superior.
Ricky Williams is their running backs coach.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, at least he was like a year ago.
They have more than one coach. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't Incarnate Word kind of sound like a place that Ricky Williams would be coaching at, though? Like meditating and smoking a lot of weed?
I mean, seriously.
Isn't it like a Christian
college?
Yeah,
well, it's like
okay,
a Catholic.
Whatever. It sounds like Incarnate. It just sounds like very.
It's like downtown San Antonio, super religious something.
All right.
Someone Ricky Williams coach there. Hey, UNT90 says we play them in a year, so they're on our future schedule.
Oh.
We play against Ricky.
Yeah, that's why we're talking about them. They're on our schedule like in 2 years, right?
Yeah, then I can see the signs. Incarnate's not a word. Portland's not a state. All right, and then we finish. Okay, so that'll be our season. We got three games left. We could possibly go 2-1 in those last three games. We could go 1-2. Either way, you know, staring at a 2-9 season or 2-10 season or 1-11. That's not good.
It ain't pretty.
And it's been a while since. I mean, you're looking at Dodge years there. What can we say? We got to look forward to next year. The whole coaching situation will hopefully bring a spark at the end of the year. Everybody's getting calls from the football players, the student athletes, trying to pump up, get people excited to renew their tickets. It's going to be tough. This is also the year that the people at the club level have kind of finished and shot the wad. It's the end of the commitment. So they're going to have to fill and get people to recommit to those seats. It's a tough time for the athletic
department.
And
that coaching hire is so important for that and so many other reasons. You need someone. This can't be a no-name hire, guys. I mean, this cannot be a no-name, nobody knows who he is, nobody's excited hire. They really need to get a name that people can get behind, and those people in the club seats will pony back up the money again, and you'll have people get excited about spring ball. And so it's a very critical hire in the whole history of this athletic program.
I'm glad we didn't decide to play the drinking game to take a drink every time that UNT90 brings up RV in the chat room. We would be done with this podcast.
Oh,
I love UNT90, though. I really do. UNT90,
You know what? I don't know him. I just have to say that his passion for the program, you got to love it. There's, you know, everybody's got different opinions, and I think we got to respect that.
He has the right to make his opinion.
He does, and he's very passionate.
Now he wants banner talk.
He wants banner.
David Banner?
Here we go.
You're talking about David Banner?
No, Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner. Well, Bruce Banner, he got some, you know, Dr. Banner
wow.
had some gamma ray Okay.
We're gonna.
Oh, whoa!
What
language.
What's going on with this mic?
I know, we're having some issues today.
I know we've got like eight.
Like our football team. Dun-dun-dun.
Wow. Okay. Hey, let's, one other thing before we get to the some other off sports news. The soccer team continues to give us reasons to be proud of off major sports at school.
Oh, they're just awesome. And John Hedlund, God bless you. He's been a bright spot in a otherwise dreary major sports situation. And he just wins, man, every single year. And earlier this year, I felt so bad for him because they lost that overtime game to Texas A&M. I think A&M was ranked. It was like, it was a real screwy ending. But I said, you know what? You just watch. They'll be fine come conference time. And sure enough, they were. I got to watch that entire game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my daughter played college soccer. And so – I'm not college soccer. High school club select soccer and all through high school. And so I love women's soccer. And I got to tell you, man, that goalie that we have, Kirstein, she is a stud. And she won that game. They had a – Marshall had a shot at the goal, and she had a terrific save. And they had a 1-0 win. But – hats off to John Hedlund and the ladies. They just, you know, really gave us something to smile about in an otherwise, you know, dreary sports season.
Cross country, soccer, and golf. So we got going.
We got volleyball and too.
Volleyball, yeah.
Volleyball's doing well too. Well, what about and then of course the golf program just got that big donation to get the whole practice facility going, and you know we've got
out at Trophy Club.
These that don't forget. I mean, I know it might have been a couple of years since, but we actually do have national championships in golf.
I know, and that's Don January.
That's
was
right,
on that team.
And they are still alive, barely.
Yeah.
But we can hang our hat on that. That's a good legacy for the school. So I would like to see that program continue to do well, as it has been the past few years. So good news for the women's soccer team, and thank you for representing the university well. All right. So
by the way, they're playing Texas Tech in the NCAA tournament, so that should be a good game.
Nice. All right. Let's get over. So Brandon's here in the studio here. Let's talk about these new student unions. So we were discussing this earlier, and before we get into what's all's there, can you guys remember in the chat room when you were at North Texas, and hopefully all these guys went to North Texas, otherwise you really need a life. do you remember in the student union building with that nice shiny brick on the floor, do you remember what food they had? Like, did they have restaurants, or was it just like kind of a stations where you could get food, or was it just off brand, or what kind of food did they have there? I just remember going there, eating very few times, and it was always just like off brand stuff there. I don't remember any actual restaurant chains there.
It, when I was there, which was back in the dark ages, there was like a cafeteria on the second floor, I believe, and you could go in there and get like a, you know, cafeteria tray, and they'd have sandwiches and various foods and stuff like that, but that was it, to my knowledge. I don't know that they had anything else
when
I was there.
Did you go
there
and get you like a salad and a tab or something?
You know, I did a couple times, just the novelty of it, but honestly, I was a big New York subs guy when I was at North Texas. I mean, I ate like three meals a day there sometimes. So anyway, but that was a long time ago.
Well, that was a while. The Mean Green Car Wash sign was new then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was.
The one with the flying worm? But Ashton, what about when you were there? Did they have like any kind of a? Obviously, you're the newer, the younger.
I think there were Chick-fil-A back when I was in school.
Yeah, I think you're dreaming.
I don't know why I keep thinking of Chick-fil-A. And I mean, I remember the options were kind of shitty, but I remember I thought that Chick-fil-A was an option. But I mean, overall, it was
a Chinese chain restaurant. I don't remember that. I remember a snack bar next to the bookstore and a restaurant for faculty staff on the third floor.
Somebody says brick oven pizza.
Brick oven pizza.
Chick-fil-A was there. Thanks, Mike Jackson. I knew that. Thank you, Mike.
When was that?
Damn it, Evan.
Well, there's a certain point. We discussed this earlier. Harry and I used to, like, after graduation, we'd go back for certain things.
Creepy.
Oh, this is cool.
Creepy.
Yeah, after a certain time, creepy. It started getting creepy.
They
like,
go to the women's soccer games that they like watching
exactly.
So much, right?
My hands
with, like, an overcoat on.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that goalie. Man.
Just smiling, licking your lips. That looks good.
Whoa. Licking the lips.
Dude, well,
is it really that bad that you can't go to a women's soccer game? I mean,
dude,
give me a
at
break.
A certain point, we were
you
tailgating.
Can. I'm not saying you can't. It's just,
okay,
you know.
We were over at Fouts one year, and we were tailgating, and we're sitting around in our chairs, and these people walk by, and we're like, they can't be college students. And they had, like, sorority shirts on, and we're like, okay, we're officially creepy now. This is not, we can't even, I mean, we have to be in a different crowd. So, Brandon, tell us what restaurants and what the new student union's like for your perspective. Now, was the old student union there at all when you were there? So can you compare it, or is this everything's new to you?
It had just gotten torn down right when I got there, and so everything's new to me because I haven't experienced it until now, and I just went in Monday, and that's when it opened. It is huge. There are four floors to this thing. The restaurants we're going to have are vary from Fuzzy's Tacos to Jamba Juice. We have, like, there's so many options for food. You got Jamba Juice, Fuzzy's Taco, Chick-fil-A, nice. Taco Bueno, Burger King, Starbucks, and you got Barnes & Noble is going to be in there for the bookstore and all that. And then they're adding all this other stuff. There's going to be a cafeteria-style dining called The Chat, which is UNT's retail dining major cafeteria.
So the restaurant management students can serve in there and stuff, maybe?
Yeah, students will be serving in there. I'm going to be working at Starbucks personally. That's going to be...
Barista.
Yes, it is a lot of fun, and it's going to be bigger than most... Most standalone Starbucks is going to be bigger. I got to tour it, and it is a huge, huge little area of the union is the Starbucks.
Starbucks on campus. That's basically cool. Going to be filled with students, coffee, but using the
And inside the Starbucks is going to be another Starbucks.
Yeah.
So is the union going to be 24/7, or is it going to shut down? I wonder, because, you know, there are people be wanting to go get coffee there all hours.
Well, Starbucks closes, like, usually 11 or 12 at night, right?
It doesn't really close real late. It
There's
opens
one
early.
In New York City that's open 24/7.
I don't understand why they're not open 24/7 more often. I mean, I feel like that would... I mean,
because
really?
Everybody wants coffee at 2 a.m.
Some people do.
Yeah, not so much. I don't think this one's going to sell
It's debatable, all right, Evan?
I don't think so. They are going to have...
We've resulted to Starbucks
They're
going to
have
Witch
Witch and Fuzzy's... Man... Was no f- well, no, there was
Jimmy John's.
There was Fuzzy.
Will the new coach? Was there, but will the new coach prefer Starbucks, or will the new coach prefer maybe Grey Goose?
So here's my question: alcohol in the union too.
Alcohol.
Yes. Starbucks serves beer at some places now, right?
There will be alcohol at.
Hey, honey, what?
And there will be.
Oh, whoa! What was that?
My
Brandon?
Phone answered a call.
Oh, dude!
Man,
she's
Brandon.
You, man.
By the way, somebody asked if the SFA union is any better than the one at our school. Marty, I got to give all credit to Marty on that. Genius.
I have not seen the SFA union. I didn't even go to the SFA campus union. I went
just the
to.
Football games.
His brother plays for the team.
My brother
okay,
plays team.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
Why do we always
opener?
Have to go through this?
No, no.
It's the board. I was just, it's funny.
I just want to say one thing, though. That's Harry and I have been doing this for nearly 10 years, and we've never accidentally answered a call where they said, "Hey, honey." So Brandon's got a first here on us.
Yeah. But it sounds to me like it's awesome. And, I mean, that's great for us as a university because, let's be real, when I went to that student union a million years ago, it had already been there for probably 20 or 30 years. You know what I mean? It's been there a long, long time. So – to hear that it's so nice and stuff like that, that's very encouraging. Because let's be honest, a lot of like prospective students and families and stuff, their first interaction with the university is going to be that student union.
Yeah, the old one was dark. It was very 70s. It was very earthy, kind of, you know, had those, you know, it looked like a terrarium you were in there. I mean, it was just kind of having a weird feel. My question is, who got the 80-foot crochet structure that was hanging on the wall? You know, the one
that
was...
clock.
There was a big clock. Yeah, but too. Remember that crochet? It looked like crochet went... Somebody on some kind of serious psychedelic trip did a crochet art. And
I know what you're talking about.
It never, ever dusted. It was like always dusty.
Yeah.
And you're just, I wonder what they did with that.
I have no idea. But I do have good memories of the union because, you know, I remember the first time I went in there, there was a guy playing piano. You remember that piano down on the lower level? And
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like in North Park Mall, that guy just playing piano when you walk in. You're like, what the hell are you doing playing piano here, man?
Ashton's just shooting things down.
No,
on this
I'm not. I just said like the guy at the North Park Mall.
No,
anyway.
I don't remember a piano
man,
player.
I'm just
Anyway, I have good. I mean, it was still impressive to me as a college young college student.
Well, yeah.
But I think now we've amped it up in a big way. And you know what? I don't care if I am a creeper. I'm gonna go. I can't wait to go check it out.
Well, maybe we can have a field trip.
Yeah.
And go check it out.
Maybe Brandon can take us on a field trip.
Yeah. When fun. So when do you start dishing out the coffee drinks there?
The coffee drinks won't be ready till. Next semester, so that's the thing about the union is they're not 100% done with it.
Ah.
They're still building on, like, they're building, like, a fountain out front, and they're still, like, working on all the retail dining parts inside.
Hmm.
But for the most part, it is finished.
So
it's
going to be, is it 100% open in the spring, or is it still got a few things, but the Starbucks will be open in the spring?
I don't think it's going to be 100% open in the spring. That's what they're aiming for, but we're...
Huh.
That's what they've been saying. It was supposed to be open May 2015.
Okay, so you're going to work at the Starbucks, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have a training or anything for that, or can you just walk in and do it?
Well, I worked for Starbucks for 3 years beforehand, so I can just I'll be able to just walk in and do it. They're just going to let me go in there, but generally, there's going to be like a 2-week training for like the new people.
So you're set. You already know how to do the job.
Yeah, it's nice. Not that hard.
Well, we'll definitely have to check that out. Well, I'm anxious to know what other things they have in there. What, you know, because when they opened that student athletic building, you know, what was it called? The
athletic center.
Okay, really? No,
the athletic
the
center.
The one that has the exercise and your average.
Oh
student.
Yeah, the pole
recreation
center.
The recreation
center.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what it was called, man.
Recreation center is kind of a generic thing, though.
I mean, yeah. And so I when that one opened, I went and checked it out. That was
after my time too, man. These young students are getting all the good stuff, man. We didn't have crap like that. The PEB was the best building that I knew to hang out, you know, because you could pick up basketball games.
But I had better football when I was there. That's where we're going to bowl games. So
Dickie.
Yeah, I would take the bowl. I would take the bowl years over new crap on campus. Take that.
I don't know, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Bad football over shit on campus?
Well, you know, some of the stuff on campus is cool, but you know what? Fry Street.
The PB was great, by the way.
Fry
so
Street.
There.
Some
great.
Of the stuff on Fry Street to me is still a little too, nowadays, it's a little too clean.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that.
I mean, when they changed it up, they changed all that up, and I could see it just doesn't have the character it had. So
no, that whole parking, the whole apartments went like right where Cool Beans, mm-hmm. when Cool Beans was the only place standing for a while,
yeah.
looked like the model home on Arrested Development. That was fantastic. And yeah, I worked at Cool Beans for like 3 years while I was in college, so that was very just weird to see. And then when we cut off the other end of the building, so it didn't have the annex that it used to have, and it only went to like a smaller part, it was sad.
Yeah, the old
yeah, a lot of the character on Fry Street really did kind of go
away. But
you
know what? Those condos are all full capacity.
I mean, oh, well, yeah.
It's great for the city
and
the businesses and the friends that I still have down there that like own bars down there. I mean, it's great for them, but I think there is a lot of character though that did leave with
right.
that. Right.
Well,
stuff.
Downtown, it wasn't nearly as active as it is
no,
now.
No, not
I mean,
at all. There wasn't anything
was
over there.
Just a few, you know, antique places and a few. Now that is absolutely great for the city of Denton. So I'm not saying anything's bad, but you know, there's just a lot of things.
It's just growing, man. It's growing by leaps and bounds. I was going to bring up, have you guys been on Eagle, where they have those same condos that are like this big not high rise, but you know, it's like 6-story thing.
Yep.
Along the way there, it just seems to me like the student housing options have quadrupled compared to what it was back in the day. I mean, it's a lot more impressive place than back when we were there for sure.
Yeah, you know, there's just a lot of changes, and of course that's going to happen. Everybody's got good old days.
If you if you wanted to drink when I was going to school, you didn't leave. You went to Fry Street. That's where you went. Yeah. There wasn't any other options. There was a couple bars.
Well,
the first bar I worked at was Andy's Bar and Grill that now has like a third floor and it had the basement.
We
and
used
then the,
to go to Dan's.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, Dan's
there.
Andy's, Sweetwater.
Sweetwater.
Those
yeah.
were like the three main places when I was going to school. So this is late 90s, early 2000s.
Beer Barn was still there.
Beer Barn was still there. But, you know, the majority of it. But now you have so many more options. I mean, the city itself has changed considerably, and I mean, for the better. I mean,
which
definitely.
Is a good
thing. Absolutely.
And I'm kind of going to dovetail this back into, you know, the beginning conversation of
yeah,
why Doug. Would someone take this job? Why would someone be interested? I think there are some things that are intriguing about this job, and just I think the square, the campus, the new union, those are just other little pieces. You just keep putting these little pieces in there to try to have the best package you can have.
I really hope that whoever is coming in, whoever does come in, is educated on that. I hope that we're selling that to him and not just – not just sports, and that would be kind of ignorant to just try to sell football with that with right now because we're, you know, terrible. But I really hope that somebody is trying to say, you know, best college town to live in, you know, in other publications it's been a top 10, you know, for years. And there is a lot of reasons to, you know, that somebody should come in and be interested in the school. But I really hope that we're actually trying to sell Denton.
It hasn't peaked yet.
No, and I hope we're trying to sell Denton as opposed to just UNT.
There's your the big point. A lot of people are considering Denton to be this new Austin. Austin's got too corporate, too big, too crazy. Denton's got this little town feel. It's got a very good music character, a music scene, an art scene. People like that, and it hasn't peaked yet. Let's just hope it doesn't go. It doesn't play out too quick.
Hey, Brendan, what do the students do these days? I mean, is it Fry Street or the Square? I mean, what do you guys do?
Fry Street's the main one, but I'm going to make a point here is Andy's is now LSA Burger. That's the one that has, like, the three stores. There's the basement, the modern floor.
Andy's is on the corner of Locust and Oak.
Locust and Oak? Andy's
it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. Trust my buddy. I know Andy. He's a friend of mine. He owns it. They're still there.
So what was it when he started?
That's by Loophole.
That's off the square. Is
yeah, Andy's is on the Andy's right across the street from Opera House.
So what was before LSA? What was it there?
Not Andy's. I know that.
Wasn't that a burger? What was it? Burger?
Denton County Hamburger.
Hamburger. Where was that?
Denton County.
Wasn't that right there?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, you're right. It was Denton County Hamburger
it was
not there?
County
right.
Denton County Hamburger. That's where it was before.
Yeah.
Or did that turn? Or was that where the ice cream place opened?
Beth Murray's is still there.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I'm just trying to figure out where Denton County Hamburger was, because I used to go to Denton County Hamburger.
Denton County Hamburger was, I think, right next to Beth Murray's, I believe, back in the day, at least.
Oh, it kind of looks the same on the inside.
LSA, which kind of makes Loophole still there, and so I think now LSA is right next to Yeah, but no, Andy's is still there.
Where do the kids want to go? I mean, do they want to go to the square more than they do Fry Street? Because in our day, it was always Fry Street. That was where you went.
It depends on the crowd, because there's so many different crowds. You got the hipster crowd that wants to go to the square and to go to the Oak Street Draft House and all the beer places, and then you've
John
got
Williams and that,
exactly. And then you've got the entire I don't want to say normal for lack of a better word, but you got the
preppy,
the kids that they go to the Fry Street Tavern, and then you got like everybody else goes to Lou's or Public House. But Fry Street,
so Lou's is still doing good business.
Lou's is still doing really good. Yeah,
Lou's is doing
Lou's
great.
Lou's do really
I mean,
well.
I'm
yeah.
glad to hear that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's been around a long time.
Love Lou's.
It's 20 years next. They just had the 19th year anniversary party, birthday, whatever. 19 years.
Oh, Mr. So, Chopsticks, just remember that.
But you know the problem with Lou's Chopsticks and beans and stuff. They don't do burgers anymore, do they? It's just drinks.
Do they not? No. Really? Well, Lou's never did food.
Okay.
Beans still does burgers. They still have Burger Day. Uh-huh. That was a pain in the ass back in the day.
I still think Denton has one of the coolest names for a gay and lesbian bar ever.
What's that?
You know what I'm talking about?
Mabel Peabody's.
Mabel Peabody's.
Chainsaw Repair.
A hair salon and chainsaw repair. Mabel Peabody's Hair Salon and Chainsaw Repair. That is the best name of all time right there. It's across from that little mini bowling alley over by TW.
I did not know.
Yeah, if you take 380, we used to go back home on 380 before it had 30 million lights on it, and we drive by that every after.
And hey, it's worth mentioning in this conversation. I think today, this morning, I got news that they approved the new conference center and hotel, which they were going to build over where the Radisson used to be. Now they're going to build it in this Razor Ranch thing.
Yeah, that's going to be weird. So what are they going to do with the property on the hill?
I don't know. I wish they would do something with it, but at this point, I guess that's in question. I really like the idea of having the hotel there. I thought it was a more visible place. You know, Razor Ranch is over there by on the other side by the hospital, like on the Oklahoma side of 35E. I don't think that's the greatest location, but evidently that's where it's going to go, and it saved them some money. So, hey, good news is we're going to have some hotel space. You know, that's going to be a decent-sized hotel.
Great. That's great, but I still want to know, and I think they need to be real careful, because the spot right there is a high spot in Denton. It's a great location right by the school. I don't want it to be something wacky, because that's right there by the stadium, and it could overshadow it. So what are they going to do with that? What the university decides, that's a big question mark for me.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they'll do something. It's a great location. And if not, then don't just leave an eyesore of old concrete and stuff there. Tear the damn thing down and let's just have it for tailgating or something. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be half-assed for the next 10 years.
Right. I agree. So somebody brought up, and you mentioned earlier, the hospitality program. I think the hospitality program is still going to actually use for their restaurant, the club. I think it's still going to be at the Gateway. Yeah, because they serve food to people that come onto campus, local people that want to have the meals there.
It's been there a long time.
So trying to get, well, yeah, since it used to be at the club at College Inn, I don't think they would move that to the center of campus just because of where it's at, but I don't know.
We'll have to find out on that.
All right. So when does the basketball stuff kick off?
This week. We got a game this week.
Jarvis Christian.
Against Jarvis Christian.
Who the hell is Jarvis Christian?
Jarvis Christian had, last time I checked, they have 4 players on their roster. So
they have 4? That doesn't.
That's not going to be good.
That was the last time I looked into Jarvis Christian.
They probably haven't updated that website.
They had not updated. I saw 4 people, and I feel like this is a relatively new team just to get the gears on the basketball team rolling. But
well, yeah, you always have those teams that are kind of
warm-up games. You got to play these games for sure, but why would they only have – that's weird.
Yeah, well, hey, hopefully it's going to be a good win and we can get things off on the right foot because obviously – Tony Benford needs a winning season.
He does. I mean, our fans need a winning something.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the basketball schedule, it's really built towards wins. So the thing that worries me a little bit is we had some of those in past years with Benford, and we'd have some very discouraging losses come up. What is it? Huntsville, Alabama. Huntsville comes to mind. But
that was painful.
Yeah, I mean, so
our out of conference schedule is pretty bad too. It's kind of embarrassing in a way.
But it is going to be interesting. There's a lot of new faces, and even if you're not a big Tony Benford fan, I think if you're a basketball fan, a North Texas basketball fan, it's going to be intriguing to see this team because it is going to be totally different. I mean, there's a lot of new faces out there now. Jeremy Combs is back. He can really play.
Reese.
And then you got the Texas A&M transfer at point guard, which, my gosh, we've needed a point guard for years. If he could be anything like they say, it could be interesting. But I'm going to watch. I'm kind of intrigued by it. I'm sure others are as well.
Yeah, I'm up for a game. So we'll just see how that goes and come through. Against Tennessee, it's going to be a tough game. 41-point underdogs. Let's just make it through without any injuries. Let's hope that we can pull it up. And maybe
let's win, man. Let's win the game, right?
And then we play Middle Tennessee, and then we play UTEP. So let's hope that we can pull one or both of those out. But this is going to be, let's be honest, it's going to be tough this week.
Yeah, very tough. But you do the best you can, and you hope for some lucky breaks. Maybe Tennessee will turn the ball over a few times like we did, you know, against La Tech. Maybe we'll get a, you know, 3 or 4 turnovers.
Hey, maybe they won't be expecting anything, and maybe we'll show up with a little extra and make it respectable. That's what we can hope for. So with that, we'll leave you guys and see you after the game. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.